Shekhinah Sarah begins. Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, the years of Sarah's life. Shnei Chayei Sarah. And then the Pasuk tells us, the second Pasuk, Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to bewail her. On this second Pasuk of Sarah dying and Avram Avinu coming to mourn her, eulogize her, Rashi tells us the following based on Chazal, Vayavo Avram, and Avram came. He came from Beersheva. This whole question, why he came from Beersheva, not our discussion for today. Lispo l'Sarah, to eulogize, relief kota, and to bewail her. V'nismechem mitat Sarah l'kadat Yitzchak. Sarah's death is juxtaposed with the binding of Isaac, which was the end of Parshas Vayera. L'fi sha'idei b'Sarah takeda, because through hearing the news of the binding, shenizdamen b'na l'shchita, that her son was readied for slaughter, v'kimat shalom nishchad, and was nearly slaughtered, parchan nishmata mimena, her soul flew from her, umeta, and she died. And we're all familiar with the Medrash, which was that the Satan came in the guise of passerby to tell her, did you hear, saw a man, right? Many different variations of the Medrash, who had lifted up a knife to shech the boy. Sarah Imenu went looking for them. I'm not interested in all the different variations of the Medrash. What we do need to focus in on is that bottom line, it would seem from the Medrash, from Chazal, that Sarah Imenu died as a result of hearing of the Akedah. And many questions arise when we hear this. First of all, source number 5, Avodat Avodah. Sarah Imenu was perhaps even greater in certain respects of prophecy than Avram Avinu. How could she be upset about what happened, that her soul would leave her, when Avram Avinu was very happy to do this? It would seem that, you know, she died of shock. She died like, oh my gosh, how could Avram Avinu do such a thing? So how was Avram Avinu was able to do this with such joy, and Sarah Imenu, who was supposedly on a higher level, not able to handle this? We have to understand, what was the ability for Avram Avinu to withstand this nisayon, that Sarah Imenu wasn't able to withstand this nisayon? Further, we need to understand even more basic question. We said that these are the lives of Sarah, Shnei Chayei Sarah, Rashi tells us, Kulam Shavim Latova. They were all for the good. Really all for the good? She dies in shock. She dies a horrible death, right? She dies hearing that her son was almost killed. That's good? That's the way we're ending Sarah Imenu's life? It seems so painful that such a great woman, the one of the greatest of the Imahos, she should die in such a way? How do we understand this, Chazal? And finally, a more technical question, which is also has to be addressed in source number 7. Why did Rashi attach his explanation to the second verse in the parasha, which describes Sarah's eulogy? It would have been more appropriate to include the comment at the first pasuk. Right? Rashi often will ask, Laman Yismecha, why is this connected to that? Ve'ela Mishpati, what is it connect to the parsha before Maman Har Sinai? So if Rashi is coming to tell us that the reason that Sarah Imenu died and is found right here is because it's a result of the Akedah, so in the first pasuk say that Laman Yismecha, why is the death of Sarah Imenu mentioned here? Because she died as a result of the Akedah. But we don't have it in the first Pasuk. We have it in the second Pasuk, and we have it in the second Pasuk in the phrase that Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to bewail her. Rashi's Dibra Matchil. When Rashi notes something, we have to understand that there's something here that's troubling Rashi, that he's responding by mentioning this. And finally, the details in our Pasuk, that Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, also needs to be explained. Why do we have such details of where exactly did Sarah Imenu die? So, my friends, let's try to understand this exalted expiation experience and understand what's really going on here. The way we're going to lay out the construct of today's shiur is we're going to begin with an overall comment. Then we're going to take a look at this death of Sarimenu vis-a-vis Avram Avinu, and we'll look at it with two insights. We'll look at it vis-a-vis Sarimenu herself, and we'll look at it with two insights. And then Mirza Hashem will end with looking at this Klape Klal Yisro, and we'll look at this with two insights. So altogether, my friends, we'll have seven insights for today, a much deeper understanding of what this Rashi is about, what Sarimenu is about, what Klal Yisrael and Avram Avinu is about, and obviously what life is about, because that's why we're here to learn. So let's begin with this Ha'ara that the Ashtara, Rabbi Yerucham, brings. We'll see it quoted here in Rav Finkus Hatzel, in Tiferet Shimshon, in source number 8. Limudim Niflim Rabbi Yochim Yon Alas Gil Miparshat Akeda. We can learn many things from the Akeda. One of them is, one of the things we learn as the byproduct of the whole story of the Akeda is how careful we have to be when speaking to other people. You have here whoever this individual was who's telling Sarimena, right? She goes to say to Chevron, "Do you see anything on the mountain?" And this person says, "Yes! I saw a man holding up a knife," right? The giants lived in Chevron. And ready to, the knife at the boy's throat. And she hears this, Percha Nishmasa, she dies. What would have been more appropriate? For this man to say, "Everything is okay, you don't have to worry, everybody's safe and sound." I will tell you what transpired. Right, when you tell news to somebody, you should always make sure that you tell them the happy ending first. Right? You know, it's like somebody's, you know, kid is on a bus that was later in an accident. Everybody's fine. Everyone is okay. There was an accident, but you don't have to worry. You don't start off saying there was a bus accident and many people were injured. That's not the way to start. Everything's okay. You don't have to worry. Let me tell you. And this is what we learn about being a mevaser. A person who's going to tell news, good news, bad news, has to be careful the way they give over the news because it could have dire consequences. And he says, Rav Finkus, umita umaruba mita tova. If a moment of bad news can cause such damage, how much more so good news? Even if it's small, how important it is that we have to be sensitive. That can be mechaya hileva nefesh. It can really restore a person's being. And says Rav Pinkus, we learn from here that if a person knows they're going to be late coming home, call home and say, "You know what? I'm stuck in traffic. I'm going to be home a few minutes late." So the person isn't worried. What happened? Where are they? What's going on? You're saving a person, particularly parents, so much worry and so much concern. And this is a small chesed that we can do. But ish l'ishto, husband and wife, friends, parents, children, to be able to be somebody who's going to be sensitive to listen to people who need to hear certain things, how we give it over, when we give it over, and being able to give it over. Just to add one nekuda, one idea on the idea of being a mevaser, being someone who gives over news. Very beautiful idea that Rav Wolfson brings from the Mori Naim, the Chernobyl Rebbe. And the Chernobyl Rebbe says, I'm in the bracket in 10, ki be'emes ish ha-magid besora tova, anyone who gives over good news, labsha bo b'chinas nitzos Eliyahu mamish. This person has a spark of Eliyahu HaNavi, who's a mevaser tov. Ki mevaser kol besoros tovos shemolo. Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who gives over good news. So if a person has good news to tell, so-and-so got engaged, so-and-so had a child, so whatever the good news is, at that moment you have a spark. The person who tells over good news has a spark of Eliyahu HaNavi. It's clothed in your body, but your spark is there. Why does a person run to tell good news, right? We all know this is human nature. I have to tell people. I have to give people calls. Right? Why do we have this need? Because we feel the spark of Eliyahu HaNavi in us. We feel this energy that is way above and beyond us. And he says, If you don't feel this, your soul feels this. V'im haya lo ladad haya yachol latchil lavod et Hashem b'china liyal shenitpasha bo'az ve'ilech b'madreg l'madreg ha'gedola. And if a person was well aware of this, they could grow in their avodas Hashem in measurable ways, because they have this aspect of Eliyahu HaNavi in you. So don't only channel it to telling others good news, which is important and amazing. Use it in the next mitzvah you do. Use it in being able to strengthen oneself in avodas Hashem. And he adds here in the Daf, v'gam ha'ish shenitbaser b'tzarah tova. Also the one who receives the good news, nichnas bo hanitzot Eliyahu v'kirpo. They also have the spark of Eliyahu. V'nitrachva da'ato gamke. Gamke yuchal l'dabek b'nakel aborit barach shmo v'nikra az bo yom Hashem ha'gado. Shechnis v'siba zu et Hashem b'tocho ad kan l'shon ha'kodesh. When a person hears good news, you feel expansive. Wow, that's amazing. I feel great. That expansive feeling of receiving good news is also spark of Eliyahu HaNavi, that one can be able to take that, both the giver as well as the receiver, to be able to grow in one's avodas Hashem. My friends, that's idea number one we learn here. Careful how you tell good news. By building it up, and the knife is there, and he almost died, boom. That's how she died, without hearing the rest of the story. Okay, now that we finished the overview idea, let's now take a look. The death of Sarai Menu vis-a-vis Avraham on two levels. Idea number one, which is found in a lot of the Sfarim, is the idea that the Inir Uzio brings down, is that the Satan was trying his hardest to be able to put every obstacle in Avraham Avinu's way in order not to do the Akedah. And Avraham Avinu said, nevertheless, I'm doing this. Right? He dresses up like a nahar, like a river, and it went up to his neck. Ba'omai ma'nafesh, I don't care, I'm going. Over and over again. There were many different trials that he had. Satan's aim was to invoke the volatile spiritual principle known as Toei Alarishonos, regretting the past deeds. Okay, he didn't win. The Akedah happened. So Satan doesn't give up. He says, I've one last chance, and that is make Avraham Avinu regret what he did. Depending on how it's applied, this principle can lead you to extremely positive or very destructive consequences. On the one hand, it's an essential component of tshuva. For by regretting one's evil deeds, one can effectively erase every last trace of them. On the other hand, if someone were to regret the righteous deeds he performed in the past, they too would be erased. The frightening truth that a person who behaved righteously throughout his life and incurs much eternal reward can theoretically wipe the slate clean at the very end. This is why the Satan acted to make Avraham Avinu regret having placed Yitzchak Avinu on the altar. Satan's approach was simply to show Sarah the vision of Yitzchak lying upon the altar, thereby bringing about her death. Satan thought that this would surely cause Avraham to regret his noble act, and to think, if only I hadn't fulfilled God's commandment, just this once, why did I do it? These thoughts would have been enough to erase the merit of the binding of Yitzchak from Jewish history. Had Avraham Avinu given expression to his acute sorrow in mourning, Sarai Menu, Satan would have said to God, you see, he regrets placing Yitzchak on the altar, wipe that slate clean. Avraham Avinu would have failed the 10th test retroactively, and lost the position of his eternal reward. For this reason, Avram, through Herculean display of self-control, consciously repressed his sorrow and kept his cheers in check. This was Avram's final trial to outmaneuver his own evil inclinations. And that's why Rashi's comment regarding juxtaposition of Sarah's death and the binding of Isaac is attached to the second verse. It's attached to the leaf kotah, the tiny cuff that Avraham Avinu eulogizes her in a more minimal type of way in order to be able to hold back his emotions, that one shouldn't think for a moment that he regretted doing the Akedah. And hence, Rashi isn't teaching us here the juxtaposition as much as why Avraham Avinu just mourns her in a more limited way in order to be able to pass this test, that he's not Toeh Alarishonos, that he wasn't in any thought retroactively saying, ugh, why did I do this? But my friend on the Parasha Kotzu Nesiv HaShalom, who discusses this theme at length, We say in Kriyat Shema Lamita, we say in Ma'ariv, V'hafser Satan milfaneinu u'me'acharenu. Please, Hashem, take away the Satan from before us and from after us. From before us is the Satan trying us to stop us from doing mitzvot. From after us is the Satan who wants us to regret what we have done. And, you know, it's like a person buys an esrog for $300. And then you see somebody else's esrog who's even more beautiful than theirs. And it's only cost $200. Why did I spend so much money? That's Tohel HaRishonos. That's Vaser Satan Macharenu. Thank God I was able to spend $300 to be able to buy the esrog that was meant for me. Right? These are the nusyonos that creep up after we've done a mitzvah. I've heard several cases of highly successful people who become Bali Tshuva. Soon after they become fully Shabbos observant, their business tanked. It's impossible for the thought not to creep up into the minds and to the minds of the person affected. Why is it that when he was irreligious, he had the Midas touch, and now that he's religious, everything he touched turned to dust? These thoughts around this person are the thoughts of the Satan behind us. Parshas Chayei Sara begins with a classic example. The Satan wanted Avraham to regret passing the greatest test of all time. In actuality, however, Sara was destined to die at that exact moment in time. The Torah stresses that her life was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years, the years of Sara's life, to teach us that these were to be the years of her life, regardless of whether there was an Akedah or not. When the Satan arranged it to seem as though she died from shock because of the Akedah, Avraham Avinu identified the timing as a ruse. And he did not regret his action. And that's the small kaf, leaf kota, as no one should think that he regretted what he had done. The Nesiva Shalom in 14 says this is a deeper understanding of the Pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Hei, Matzil Ani Mechazak Mimenu, V'Ani Ve'Avyon Migozlo, to save the Ani, a poor person, the Ani Bedas, Mechazak Mimenu, that which is stronger than you, that's the Nisayon beforehand, the Taivas, not to do it, the strong inclinations that prevent us from wanting to do a mitzvah. The Ani Ve'Avyon Migozlo, to steal it, is once you've done it, the Satan wants to try to have you steal what you've accomplished. He adds here an important nekuda, Rabbi Friend, which I want to make mention, because this is very relevant for many of our lives. In 15, aside from Siva Shalom teaching about the Satan behind us, there's a valuable message to be gained from Avraham Avinu's approach to Sarah's death. When a family member passes away, the family members sometimes second-guess their every step. If only we had done this, if we'd only done that. In the first two verses of the Chayei Sara, the Torah teaches us that feelings of guilt are not in place. Once a loved one is gone, we should mourn in proportion to the tragedy, but we should not view the loss as an indictment of our own actions. No matter what we feel we should have, could have done, every person has a predestined time to live, and as painful as the loss may be, we should not be beset by feelings of guilt. Sara Imenu was supposed to die now. The Satan created the death in this way, but nowhere should one think that she died because of this. She died because Ribbono Shalom wanted her to die. L'mineinu Sara of Nissan Alpert Zatzal says it so clearly. Ein hamavet mikre. Death is not accidental. Kilo levad shishinotav shaladam ksuvim lo. Not only are the years of a person apportioned out, ela makom mitato, where a person will die, ve'ofe mitato, and how they will die, nase hakol bashkacha pratit, is specific hashkacha pratit from Hashem. You know, so often we hear of a tragedy and we say, what happened? How did they die? How did they die? Why did they die? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to die in this particular way. Why? That's beyond us for understanding. But no, there are no accidents in this world. Okay, that's idea number one vis-a-vis Avraham Avinu, that this death of Sara Imenu really had nothing to do with her as much as Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu passes with flying colors. The second aspect vis-a-vis Avraham Avinu is the question we raised. How was it that Avram Avinu was able to pass this test and Sarimenu was unable to? Avram Avinu was able to hold the knife up and Sarimenu, just hearing this, just literally passes out. So here I'd like to share also another fundamental principle. The Omosha brings from Maran HaGriz, Apima de'itam of Secher of Arzora. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 18, Bab Etrunya in Briyosef, Hashem never comes with a complaint against us. What does this mean? Da'ayinu Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid b'nisayon adam asher lo yachol la'mod b'osan nisayon. Hashem does not put us, very famous idea, in a challenge we're unable to handle. Shekein kol nisayon eino elo lofi kochotav shelam enuseh. Every challenge is based on our capability of the one being challenged to handle it. For one person, what is a nisayon that is like, you know, that they're going through, for another person would be impossible. And Hashem wouldn't test that person with that nisayon. Hashem gives every test tailor-made to this person. And now we understand. Avraham Avinu was given this test. V'alukim nisayon Avraham. Avraham Avinu was the one tested. Therefore, he had the kochos and nefesh, the ability to withstand this test. This was not the test of Sarimenu. And because it wasn't the test of Sarimenu, it was beyond her to handle, and therefore she died. Nowhere do we implicate her with the fact that there was something wrong in that she died. Again, she had to die in this particular way. Why? That will be the next set of levels of Mirtz Hashem. At the same time, know that Sarimenu couldn't handle this because this wasn't her nisayon. Rav Gifter at cell 17, fulfilling a nisayon often seems beyond its capability. However, Hashem does not expect the impossible, and when He commands us through a mitzvah included in the mitzvah, it's a necessary strength to complete it. The mitzvah itself reinforces one. Indeed, Avram did not possess a natural ability to slaughter Yitzhak. However, Hashem commanded. Hashem's command imbued him with the strength to do so. Sarimenu was not commanded to sacrifice Yitzhak Avinu, retained her natural strength, and passed away by merely hearing of Yitzhak Avinu's near death. And that's why the Sichas Musar of Chaim Shulevitzin 19 points out, V'lachein ein l'adam l'avir at desmolim dei nisayon. One should not bring oneself to a place of test. Ki ba'ofen zeh shelo natinu lo nisayon harei lo nitan lo takoch ha'miyuchad la'amod bo. Don't put yourself in a place of being tested because you don't have the wherewithal within to be able to pass such a test. That's why we say that a person should be very careful that, like David HaMelech asked, you know, why am I, doesn't say, okay, David. Hashem says, okay, I'll test you. It was a test of Bathsheba, and he wasn't able to pass the test, seemingly. Why? Because this was not something that was tailor-made for him. This was something he asked for. And we have to be careful not to ask for tests. Everything is what we need for us to be successful in our Avodas Hashem. And we'll just note, before we develop this idea one step further in 21, the Sichas Musar goes on and says, that's why Avraham Avinu wasn't given the test right away. Go take Yitzchak and slaughter him. Right? Kachna bincha. I have two sons. Et yichitcha. Your only son. Each one's an only son. Right? Asher ahavta. I love both of them. Et yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He tests us, He builds up the test so that we're not overwhelmed. This is part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the person, step by step, that they're able to absorb, able to handle, able to deal with this particular nisayon. This idea that every test is tailor-made for us and with our ability to handle it, our ability to be successful in it, is an idea that Rav Reis and Rosh Sarim points out in Parsha Naso. And he speaks about, it's not only tests, it's really in every aspect of life. Let's take a look for a few minutes. Source 23. He says, Kishem Shinamar b'nei Levi, Shekol Achamihem kibel tafkin mugdar. Parshat Naso talks about how the children of Levi, each one got a tailor-made job. Some had the crushim, some had the adonim. Everyone carried different things. Kachu gam etzo kol yachid Yisrael. Likewise, by every Jew as well. L'chol echad tafkin mugdar b'miskeret avodas Hashem. We all have our specific role in avodas Hashem. This is the Sfas Emeth. ulecholi shisrael nesquiglin 23 nimsay diyal vinam yuchedet liyo noda gadutel shakarish baruch hu. Every person has, according to their level, their way of revealing godliness in this world that nobody else can. And that's what we have to understand. Kishem shepar tufayim domi. Just like our faces are different, our mindsets are different, our purposes in life are different. Everyone has to know where they are at. Having said this, he says, B'miskeret, in 24, Havodah Yehudit Shal Kol Achad, Hugam Pogesh B'Nisyonot Shonim Mishunim. Just like we each have our tailor-made jobs in this world, we each have our tailor-made Nisyonos in this world. Shagam Hem Yehudim Lo. That are specific to that person. Sometimes, I'd say many times, these nisyonos seem beyond what we can handle. And a person feels like despondent. I can't go through this. As if I'm up against a big wall. But the Torah teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like He gives us specific tasks, and gives us the ability to be able to withstand and be successful in those tasks. Shebeitem lahem hutal lava nisyonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives something more than a person can handle. And this is the way the Pnei Menachem teaches the pasuk that we say every morning in Pesukei Yizimron 25. Hanotein sheleg katzamer. He gives the snow according to the wool. Kefor, the coldness, ka'efer yifaser, like the ashes that are spread out, which means Hashem gives us exactly what a person can handle. If it's going to be this cold, Hashem's going to give us the ability to be warmed up. Everything is exactly tailor-made for us, and we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doeg mirosh, sheyu lebal tafkid kelim matimim, that will be able to be successful. And part of these kelim, my friends, are not only the inner strengths that a person has to be able to be successful in overcoming this. Part of the kelim, part of what Hashem gives us, is like the down blanket, the outer kelim as well. The people, the resources, the organizations, these are all part that Hashem sets up exactly that a person should hear about. This organization or this friend has the ability to help you in this particular way. All of this is part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates this world, that we have the exact resources, inner and outer, to be able to withstand the challenges that we have. And the imagery that Rav Reis uses in 27 is very much the imagery of Mamad Har Sinai, where Hashem asked us, do we want to accept the Torah, receive the Torah? And our response was not seven nishma, we'll do, and then we'll understand. An outsider would say, come on, like, hello, you can't just accept something you don't know. No, we know that Hashem is giving us the Torah. We don't have to ask what's found in it. Right? When the other goyim said, well, what's found in it? Well, lo tirzach, we can't do that. Lo signa, we can't do it. Murder, we can't steal. That's not for us. Klai Yisrael don't ask anything. Why not? Because they understand that if Hashem is giving us the Torah, He's giving us the wherewithal within the construct of Torah to be able to be successful, to keep Torah. And that's our job. Our job in life is nasa v'nishma. Hashem, if you're giving me this nisayon, and every one of us has different nisyonos in life, and we've been speaking about this the last few weeks, it's almost the theme of this year, whether the big nisyonos in life, right, we spoke about this in Lech Lecha, or the small nisyonos in life, the Lech Lecha of the Akedah, the Lech Lecha of leaving his father's house, the big ones and the small ones in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to withstand it. And this is something to think about when we sing Shabbos Miros. We say, Uva'u kulam bevris yachad, the bottom of 27. We all came together in one covenant. Nasa v'nishma amru kechad. As one, we said, Nasa v'nishma, we'll do and we'll understand. Ufatchu va'anu Hashem et echad. They opened their mouth. They said, Hashem is one. Baruch ha'nosein la'yayef koach. Blessed is the one, praised is the one who gives to the weary strength. What is this last phrase doing here? It's exactly here. If I know Hashem Achad, Hashem is one, and I know that Hashem gives me only what I can handle. I ask Hashem, give me the strength. I know I have it in me. You just have to give me the strength. Baruch HaNosein, L'Yayav Koach, to be able to be successful. Okay, my friends, so we saw, as an overview, careful how you give news. Know that when you give good news or receive good news, you could fly. You have a nitzot, a spark of Eliyahu HaNavi. Even if you don't see it, your soul experiences and feels it. There's that excitement. There's that expansiveness. Use that in your Vodas Hashem. And then we looked at it, two ideas connected vis-a-vis Avraham Avinu. One, this was Avraham Avinu's end of the Akedah test. Would he regret doing this? He doesn't regret it. It's found in this pasuk that Rashi notes this idea. The kuf is small. He minimizes his mourning so no one should even think that he regrets what he's done. And the second idea is that Avraham Avinu was able to pass this test because this was his test. Sari Menu was not able to pass this test because it was not her test. So now we have to understand a little bit about Sari Menu. It seems, our next question we had asked at the beginning, it seems very sad that this is the way she ends her life. Kulan Shavim Latova, they were all for the good. This you call good, the way she died. How are we to understand this? So I'd like to take a look at two ideas of Ritz Hashem on this level as well. We'll begin with the Ohel Yoshua, the Jikov Rav, who quotes the Klei Yikar. The Klei Yikar says that there are four different ways, and obviously this is a shiur in itself, that a person could die. One is, one person dies of their own sin. A second, a person dies because of the sins of others. There are tzaddikim nitpasim al ador. Obviously, a tzaddik himself needs to die. It's not random, but it's connected to the generation. Third, mitat tivit shelo mitzad chayt. It's a natural death, not connected to any specific sin. And fourth, it's mita neshika, the death of tzaddikim, the death by kiss. All four are hinted at in Kiryat Arba. Why is it she died in Kiryat Arba? Why is it called Kiryat Arba? So one interpretation that Rashi brings, which is found at the beginning of 28a, Arba Shemot Nikrula, Eshkol, Mamre, Kiryat Arba, and Chevron. That's four names. So he teaches all four names corresponding to these ways of death. Mamre is Lashon Chait, Al Derech Mamrim Hayitem. You rebelled against Hashem. Eshkol is one dies as a result of the sins of others. Lameshkol gam shechem yom echad, the way Rivka Imenu says this. Kiryat Arba is the disassociation of the four parts of a person, which is a natural death. And Chevron is chibur, is the level of connection of between Hashem and the person, and Hashem literally draws the neshama out. So here we have a Tamat Sarah Bekiryat Arba Hi Chevron. Sari Menu dies Bekiryat Arba, which is she dies a natural death, not because of a sin. And Bechevron, she dies a Mita Neshika, a death by of love. So let's try and understand this. The Yisnaim L'Torah in 29 points out the following. We all know the story about David HaMelech, that David HaMelech knew he was going to die on Shabbos, the Medrash tells us, and David HaMelech spends his entire Shabbos not one moment away from learning. So the Melech HaMavet wasn't able to take David HaMelech. He's completely immersed in Torah. So he has, I don't know, something fall, a bird, make some noise, and for a moment David HaMelech looks up, and that's when the Melech HaMavet is able to take David HaMelech's life. Likewise here, Sari Menu, says the Yosayim Torah, was so connected with Baruch Shalom. She was living, look at the Netziv at the beginning of our parsha, Givaldik Netziv, where Sari Menu wasn't that she was greater in Nevuah, but she was greater in Ruach HaKodesh, and just that connective level to the Baruch Shalom. And the Malach HaMavet couldn't get her. So this ruse of this whole story was in order to distract Sari Menu that the Malach HaMavet could be able to take her, and the way she was taken was Mita Neshika, was through a way of a kiss, was the Mita of Tzaddikim. So you take a look at this story and you say, really? This was a Mita Neshika? It doesn't seem like a Mita Neshika. It seems like a pretty traumatic death. How do we understand this? So now we have to re-examine this medrash. What does it mean? Parcha nishmasa, her neshama left. It sounds so traumatic. What do you mean? It was a pleasant type of way that able to be taken like a tzaddik. So let's try to look at two levels about Sari Mina. The first in source number 30. When Sari Menu hears the story, it's not the way we as humans look at the situation. This is a woman who is completely connected, as we just mentioned, to the will of Hashem and his desires. V'kasher noda la shebenah hisiga tamatara, double squiggly in 30. Shelishma hu ba'al olam. When she heard that her son reached the apex of connection to Hashem, that he was ready to be Melser Nefesh, that he was ready to give himself physically for God, as Gamhi ro'ash siyamat tafkidah ba'olam hazeh, at that moment she said, I'm finished. This is the greatest pleasure imaginable. Why am I here? I'm here to be mechanech my child, to be completely devoted to Hashem. He's reached that level. There's no need for me to be in this world anymore. I was here in order to be mechanech him, to educate him. As kimat ba'orach tivi parcha nishmata, it was almost natural that her soul left her. Don't think that there's some type of tragedy going on here. Oh, lo musbera, that we don't understand, that could have been prevented. The culture came chain come akomachili dragesha roa hamaso. We shouldn't feel, oh, what bad luck, she has to die in this way. No. Hahefechu anachon. And he goes on to explain from the Sefer Shvus Yehuda. Shnei Chaye Sarah, these were exact years of Sarah's life. And these were the life of Sarah and Imenu and all the great tzaddikim, that they have complete control over themselves. She's not dying out of shock. She's very well aware of who she is, what she's about, what this moment is about. And it's rather a death with this consciousness. I have completed my mission. I feel like my time on earth has come to an end. I have done what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted me to do, and I've done it to the best I could possibly imagine. And it was with tremendous simcha, with tremendous joy, that she's able to almost leave this world into a different dimension, because she has accomplished what she was set out to accomplish. And this is in 31, the Sefer Ha'aros of Zadel Epstein Zatzal. He says in the bracket, V'sari menu mirov simchata, out of tremendous joy, shezachta leben kadosh kazeh, that she was gifted with such a holy son, shemasar nafsho lakeda shchita mamish, that he was about to be shechted, yatsa nishmata kefi shekashir mevasrim ladam b'sara shismechat simchat zuma. It's like when a person hears incredibly good news, they can't contain themselves until in a lev yachol lekabel b'sara kazot, the heart can't contain this and they die from joy. That is the idea here. And hence, says the Sefer Haros, why, our original question, third question, why was it that Rashi puts it in this pasuk and not at the beginning, the connection? Because this is the pasuk of Vayavo Avram Lispod Lutzarav Lif Kota. What was the hesped? This was the hesped. This was the eulogy. The eulogy was, look at this special woman, how she died from joy, that she was zocha to have such a child, to be able to serve Hashem. The joy that she had, to be able to see the fruits of her labor. This is the hesped. There's no greater hesped than when a mother is able to say, I've been successful in my job of being a mother. That's idea number one. Idea number one by Sari Menu is that she felt joy. It wasn't a tragic death. It was a joyful death. It was a death of not being able to contain herself from such joy. Then there's a second idea. This idea is quoted by a lot of the Sari. And that idea we'll see it in the writings of the Tusha Rebbe Avodat Avodah in Source 3. That's he quotes the Magid of Koshnitz, Chuto Yagen Aleinu, Shapire, who explained, Dekevan Shishama Sarei Menu Ki Avram V'Yitzchak Zachu Lasot Kiddush Hashem Ba'ofen Niflak Hazeh. When Sarei Menu heard how her husband and son were able to reach such great heights of Kiddush Hashem, Hitzta'ara Ma'ot, she felt very pain. Al Shehilo Nitla Chevel V'Chalon B'Maseh Gadol Zeh, that she never part in this. She yearned, desire that she should be able to be mekadesh shem Hashem, that she should die such a death, to be able to live a life of giving yourself over completely to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And from heaven, they acquiesced to her request. Shemerov yishtokekut, Hamadbekan nishmata el kel chai v'zachta l'kadei shem Hashem b'mitatam. Her death is coming from her deep desire to cling to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to reach levels of ecstasy above and beyond herself. That's why on a Kabbalistic level, Kiryat Arba is a reference to the four-letter name of Hashem, Aleph, Tel, and Nun, Yud, the Yichud Hashem. That's Chevron, the Chibur. She connected completely to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is why in 34, that Avraham Avinu worked so ardently to be able to have her buried in Maris Samachpela, because Maris Samachpela is the entrance of Gan Eden above. And all the neshamos go through Maris Samachpela to enter into the ultimate Gan Eden. Maris Samachpela, double. It's a connection between the lower world and the higher world. In fact, we know that all our tefillos go up from Chevron and then to Yerushalayim. Chevron is known as a subterranean sister city of Yerushalayim. And Avraham Avinu, knowing how Sarei Menu died in such a holy way, knew that she needed to be buried in a place which epitomized this level of connection. Just to try to understand this a little bit deeper, my friends, Rav Asher writes on the Parsha, we can explain that Sarah's soul fled her body after having experienced such a tremendous spiritual ascent. She was unable to retain her hold on the physical world. Such was the case with the Mishnaic sage Ben Adai, who entered the paradise, the orchard of godly wisdom, and became so enthralled with the awareness of the Almighty that he was unable to return to this world. Regarding this incident, the Gemara states, four entered the paradise, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Rabbi Kiva, and Acher. Ben Azai gazed and died, of him is written precious in the eyes of Hashem is the death of his pious. Ben Zoma gazed and was struck in his sanity, of him is written as you find honey, eat up no more than your fill, and the Gemara goes on. The Marsha comments, Ben Azai gazed and died, his soul embraced with powerful love the upper worlds from which it was formed. As he gazed at the radiant light, his soul took leave of his body and shook itself free of all the body's worldly interests. That moment he found the peace he desired, chose not to return to his place in this world. We find this in Parshas Achrei Mot by Nadav and Avihu, Bigarv Tam Lifnei Hashem. They drew close to Hashem and died. They entered a plane of spiritual awareness that rendered them unable to retain a connection with this physical world. Similar, Reb Sadok, according to Lublin, explains where Rabbi Akiva was being executed and recited Shema, and he then died not from the iron combs that raked his body, but of the love and yearning for the Creator that pervaded his entire being and drew his soul to its celestial home. The same was true of Sarei Menu. When she heard of the great sacrifice her son had made, having been all but offered as a korban on the Mizbeach, she also ascended to such a lofty spiritual level that her soul fled her body. This is not a tragic death. This is the death of a woman who wants more than anything else to be able to connect the upper worlds and the lower worlds. It was a moment of ecstasy, of connection to Hashem. Indeed, Rav Wolba in Shirei Chumash in 36 notes that we have another Gemara that uses almost exactly parallel language. By Mamad Har Sinai, the Chumash tells us that when Klal Yisrael experienced the revelation of God, Parcha Nishmasam, their souls left there. The same language is used. Parcha, to leave, it's like to flee. The experience is so overwhelming that the body can't contain the spiritual experience. And that's how Sarei Minu died. Klai Yisrael Mamen Har Sinai also died. Hashem had to revive them. It's overwhelming. It's this level of connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. And we know in Source 37, back to the Avodah Avodah, Tasha Rebbe, Mikoach Masha Avos Vaimaos Hakadoshim, Masur Nafsham LaShem B'Dveikus Kaseh. The Avos and the Imaos Hakadoshim set for us a paradigm of how to serve Hashem with this Dveikus. Hutba Teva B'nei Yisrael. This is what is instilled in Klai Yisrael. Shishtokakul Imsur Nafsham LaShem. We're ready to give up ourselves for Ribono Shel Olam. It's all setting the course for us. It's not about dying al kiddush Hashem, which is what we see from Sarei Minu, but that love we have to put into kich v'chai b'hem, that we have to be levatel alav yitbarach kol machshava dibur ha'maisa, give ourselves over completely in our thought, in our speech, in our action, in every part of us. V'lakdish kol rega shel hayom v'halayla l'man shmo yitbarach, to live a consciously focused life of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when it's hard to learn, it's hard to daven, it's hard to take tefillin, it's hard to do chesed, it's hard. Nimsur nafshenu la davar. Push ourselves nevertheless. Mitoch hishtokakut l'dabek nafshenu el chai. Because this is what the Avos Limosov teach us. That when it's hard to do mitzvos, when you're pressured against doing mitzvos, this is when we need to show this passion, show this love. It's not easy. It's going to take effort. It's going to take thought. It's going to take mysterious nefesh. I'm ready to do this. This is what David HaMelech tells Shlomo, his son. Da et Elokei Avicha. No is intimate knowledge. Elokei Avicha, the God of your forefathers. Just as the God of your forefathers were ready to be Moser Nefesh for the Ribono Shel Olam, you need to be Moser Nefesh in a level of connection. My friends, this is really the message of what this parasha is about. How do we connect? How do we be able to show in every part of our lives this intense love for Hashem? That we'll be able to go beyond our comfort zone to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That's the message. Sarei Minu's tremendous love for Hashem is found in our genetic DNA. That we have this tremendous love for the Ribono Shel Olam as well. Just to share a very quick story before just taking this second idea one step further, and then we'll get to very quickly the two ideas with the national relationship between Sarei Minu and this story. There was a Rabbi Spiro tells a story of a yeshiva bacher who is on a bus, and a girl gets on who's not dressed, just leave it as not dressed. And she comes and sits down next to this yeshiva boy. And he's obviously very uncomfortable, but he doesn't want to make her feel bad either. And he's like a little bit like uncomfortable what to do. So without making a big fanfare, without, you know, like giving her looks or saying anything, he quietly puts the hat over his eyes and finds the appropriate time to go to the back of the bus where the girl thinks that he's getting off, not knowing that he's really leaving to the back of the bus. And he sits at the back of the bus and he says, you know what, I don't know who else is going to come on. I don't want to make another scene. He kept the brim of the hat over his eyes. And he said that way, it was a intercity bus, that way I'll be able to be safe from anyone else perhaps seeing things I shouldn't see. And it happened to be that a suicide bomber pulled up next to this bus a little bit further along the road. The bus blew up, and lo aleinu, there were many casualties, and shards of glass went flying, and the paramedics went from person to person to examine, you know, where they were at, what you know, they needed in terms of medical assistance. And when they got to this particular boy, there were shards of glass all over the brim of his hat. And the paramedic said to him, you should know that that brim of your hat saves you from Laura Lane losing your eyesight, because it could definitely have gone into your eyes. And he was cut up and stuff, but in the large picture, he was saved from this brim of the hat. But let me tell you the PS of the story, which is very powerful. Now let's fast forward 15 years. This boy is now a young man. Is up north somewhere, and he enters into a shul that he's, I think it was up north, he was somewhere that he normally doesn't enter into, and there was a chazan there who had a particularly sweet voice and a very nice nusach in davening. So he goes over to the chazan afterwards, to wish him a yashar koach, and he goes over, gives him a yashar koach, shakes his hand, and he looks at this chazan and he says, you look so familiar. And the chazan looks at him and he says, you also look so familiar. You know, two people look at each other, you look so familiar, but they can't place it, and they're looking and looking. And finally this boy says, weren't you the bus driver on that bus that blew up 15 years ago? And the bus driver looks at him, and then he comes out with a broad smile. He says, I have been looking for you for the last 15 years. And he tells him the following. He says, as a bus driver, and he said to him, you don't look like the way you looked 15 years ago. Like, 15 years ago he wasn't religious, and now he's leaving davening, you know, like, total bal tshuva. He says, like, you know, that's why I didn't recognize him. So he says, I'll tell you the story. He says, when I was driving that bus, I saw the whole thing from my mirror of how that girl sat down, how you didn't make a big deal, how you unobtrusively got up, went to the back, put the hat over your eyes, and I was so impressed with your decorum and the way you behaved. And I also overheard the paramedic saying to you that that hat, the brim of the hat, had saved your life. You made such an impression on me, and I saw such clear hashgacha prati, divine intervention, that I became a bal tshuva, that I returned to Yiddishkeit, and I've been wanting to thank you for all these 15 years, but the police report and the medical reports are all confidential, and they weren't allowed to give me your information. And obviously Hashem had it that we should meet, that I should thank you, that not only did that brim of your hat save your life, it also saved my life. This is the Mesiras Nefesh. We push ourselves even when it's uncomfortable. It comes from that love that Tzari Menu has imbued in us. Most people, when they love the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't have their souls leave them. They come back. So here the Shvili Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman Shlita, brings down, based on the Belzer Rebbe in 39. There is a skula, there is a protection that when we do a mitzvah, that our souls don't leave us. Right, that with this passion and love, like Tzari Menu had for Ribbono Shel Olam, our souls don't leave us but come back to us. V'chai b'hem, we live by them. Shor mitzvos lo yedei devar ra. Those who guard the mitzvos won't know any harm. That's only when you're mekayim a mitzvah that you're commanded to do. And that is why Nadav and Avihu, who were not commanded to bring this sacrifice, this ketoret, their souls did leave them. They didn't have this protection. And likewise, Tzari Menu, who was not commanded to give of herself, she wasn't commanded to have this Mesiras Nefesh. Avraham Avinu was commanded with this level of Mesiras Nefesh. Yitzchak Avinu was commanded with this. And because they were commanded, their souls came back to them, albeit they experienced such exalted levels of connection to Hashem. Tzari Menu, who wasn't commanded, similar to the Nadav and Avihu, her soul just connected to Ribbono Shel Olam without the ruts of a shove, without coming back. Having said this, we will add the Or Gedaliahu notes in source number 40 that, we'll do 42, that Ki'ita B'Sfarim, that Avraham Avinu was able to mitaken all levels of Ashan, Olam Shana Nefesh. He, through his nisyonos, he impacted time, he impacted himself, and he impacted place. And the story of the Akedah was taking Har Moriah, was taking Mount Moriah, the place where the base of Mikdash is, and consecrating it as the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yirah, Hashem will be seen, Hashem will be found there. This is the place of Kedusha, the place of connection to Ribono Shel Olam. This is the place of sacrifice, and this is the Kedusha of this place until today. While Avraham Avinu was able to effect that on the Akedah, Source 44, Sarah Imenu was able to effect that in her death. Sarah Imenu, as the Parsha begins, was perfected in terms of time, right? Shnei Chayei Sarah, she elevated every aspect of her day. Sarah Imenu perfected herself, Chayei Sarah, as an individual. Sarah Imenu's death now perfected the aspect of Makom, that she now, the Olam, now was able to elevate this place as a place of Kedusha, as a place of connection to Hashem. The Aaron 44, Vayidei HaYichud HaGodo Shasta, this connection, right, of giving oneself completely and being completely connected to Hashem, Chavron, Shasta V'davka Nafsha Babar Yisparach, that she connected to Ribono Shel Olam, Takna bechinas mako, makom maris tamachpela. And hence the Medrash says, Zamama sadevati kacheu. And she planned at a field and took it. And that's maris tamachpela, when we say in the Eshet Chayil. That was the eulogy that Avraham Avinu had for Sarah Imenu. Well, wasn't the maris tamachpela after she died? How did she plan it out? The moment of her death, she made this place the place of connection, which is very deep here. Because really, when we say that Chevron is the sister subterranean city of Yerushalayim, and that all our tefillos go up through Chevron and through Yerushalayim, and our souls go up through Chevron and Yerushalayim, it now makes so much sense, because Avram and Sarah are connected together. That unity together. In fact, we learn the laws of marriages, the language of Lekicha, from the acquisition of Maris HaMachpelah. Because this is what it's about. It's the unity of Avram and Sarah working as a team to be able to create places as places of connection to Ribono Shel Olam that we have on Hayom Hazeh. So Avraham Avinu, through the Akedah, was able to make Yerushalayim, Har Moriah, that place of connection. And Sarah Imenu, at the moment of her death, at this very special moment, when she's literally flying, connecting, the Nadav and Avihu imagery, just this closeness to Ribono Shel Olam, and this is when she was supposed to die, this is how she died, it was the most exalted experience possible, she then was able to make Kiryat Arba, Maris HaMachpelah, this place of Kedusha, this place of holiness, Ad Hayom Hazeh. So my friends, we saw now in terms of Sarah Imenu, she died a happy death. She saw that her mission was over. Her son reached the greatest of heights. She longed to join them in this spiritual moment. She also wanted to be there. She wasn't there physically, so let me at least be there spiritually. And because, again, she wasn't commanded, she didn't have that ability to be brought back, and she just went forward and died, literally, Chevron, Chibur, with this level of connection to Ribono Shel Olam, which impacts us, that we have this spiritual yearning and drive of connection. We have, as in 43, the Chayos Ratz of Hashov, that mitzvahs bring us back, Halavai, that we were so out there that we need to be brought back, and the back and forth aspect, and her moment of her death, consecrated Chevron, Kiryat Arba, Maris HaMachpelah, as a holy place. In the last few minutes that we have, I like to look at this from a totally different perspective, and both of these ideas are highly challenging, so we'll present them without explaining them, and we'll end with one final idea, like we began with one final idea. Rav Rivlin, Sefer Parshios, brings an idea, and he says, HaRayon Shanachnu Omdim Anu Levatei Becherdas Kodesh, the idea I'm about to present with trepidation here is something that lo nijamer lavino al b'riyav. It's not something we can, you know, laud and say, I understand this completely. He said, but I want to present this anyway. And he says, you find throughout history, B'chol me'orasha yiridah 45 asterisks, Shechinah la'aretz b'tzurah miyuchadet. Anytime Hashem comes down, Hashras Hashchina, the Divine Presence comes down in an open, revealed way, in a very special way, in a very intimate way, Yesh mishu shechayav l'shalim al-kach b'chayav. Someone has to pay for this with their lives. It's like the mita tzaddikim. It's a death of tzaddikim that allow the Shekhinah to come down. And he says this is very much the pasuk in Tehillim at the end of 45 of Nora alila al bnei Adam. This is something that we don't understand. We don't understand the dynamics of this. We don't understand why this is. So if he can't explain it, I for sure can't explain it. But we see this, that when Binyamin is born, Hashem says, I will be with you in Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin is a child who never sins. When that level of intimate connection happens, that Hashem comes back with Yaakov Avinu into Eretz Yisrael and is with him in this way, specifically with the birth of Binyamin, Rachel Imenu has to die. Nadav and Avihu is the Mishkan. When Hashem comes down with the Mishkan, with the Ashras Hashchina, at the time of the consecration of the Mishkan, Nadav and Avihu are dying. When David HaMelech brings the Aron toward Yerushalayim, to bring Hashem into Yerushalayim, Uzzah dies, right? Trying to hold on to the Aron that's wobbling. And likewise here, V'af ba'akedat sara yesh lomar. Sarim hayinu shebekrovaya kadesh ade Avram v'yitzcha, achsham nitbarer, shekedushat sara godlam kedushatam, akedat sara. Here, the Shekhinah is coming down, and this is going to be a place, lo zozo Shekhinah mikol tel maravi. The Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is on this mountain for all time, from beginning of time to the end of time. This was a moment of intensity of Divine Presence. And like Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu said to each other, like, we know that we have a feeling that someone's going to die. The Krovaya Kadesh, with the Shekhinah coming down by the Mishkan, we didn't know who it was, and it turned out Nadav and Avihu. You take a look at the Akedah, and you don't know. Is it going to be Avraham Avinu? Is it going to be Yitzhak Avinu? Someone may have to give their life, literally, for the schus, for the merit of the Shekhinah to come down. It's an Akedah Sarah. Sarah Imenu is the one who gives her life for the Shekhinah to come down. This is this moment in history that Sarah Imenu's death allows the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, to be on this mountain for all times. And the final idea is the Piyajnetzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzadim Kadosh Levracha, Shanim Kom Domo, in the Yesh Kodesh in 47, very famous Yesh Kodesh. And we know that the Piyajnetzer Rebbe died in the Warsaw Ghetto. His works were found in milk cans that were buried in the ghetto, that were discovered many years afterwards and then printed. So understand that the Rebbe's writing this in this circumstance. And he says there's an idea, quoting Menachem Mendel Mirimanov, the Gemara says there's a brit b'melach and a brit b'yisuru. There's a covenant with salt and a covenant with challenges. Just like salt, the exact amount makes the meat good, too much ruins the meat, you don't get any pleasure. So too, the right amount of challenges are good, are healthy. Too much of it, it's overwhelming. And here he explains the following, Shegam Sara Imenu Atzma, Shenatna Kol Kach Aliba Maisa Keda Sheparcha Nishmata L'Tovak Yisrael Asta. Sarah Imenu gave up of her life to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enough, we can't handle Akedas. Too much Yisurim in life kills a person. L'aro L'Hashem Ech Iyef Shar L'Yisrael L'Yispol Yisurim Yoter Midai. V'afilum, she says that by when she heard about the Akedah, she's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much Akedahs do you want in our lives? How much Akedahs? How much sacrifices do you want through Jewish history? We can't handle it. And by Sarah Imenu dying, it was a statement, Hashem, too much, it kills you. And the Sari Menu's death is Mesiris Nefesh. She's giving up her soul for Klai Yisrael, telling Ribbono Shel Olam, there is just too much we can handle, and then we can't handle any more. And Lachem Yirachem Hashem Aleinu, Hashem should have mercy, and not give us more challenges than we can handle. We went way over time, so we'll end with the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer of Rivlin brings in 48. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, the Satan described it as his child is crying. Miyadi tchila bochal mi'alelet. When Sari Menu hears this, she starts to cry. Bachta shalosh bechio. She cries three cries. Kineged shalosh tkios. And those three cries parallel the three tekios we say in Rosh Hashanah. Shalosh yololos, three wailings. Kineged shalosh yavavos, paralleling our three truas. Uparcha mishmata vameta. And then she dies. We so often think that our tekiyah shofar is connected to the mother of Sisera, which it is. But it's also very much connected to Sari Menu. The tekiyah shofar should remind us of this moment that Sari Menu leaves this world. We should remember that Sari Menu's crying is the cry of the tekiyah shofar. On the one hand, it's the cry of crowning Hashem king, that I want to be able to give myself over completely to Ritzon Hashem. All I want to do is the will of God. And I want to do it b'simcha, I want to do it with joy. And that feeling of Sari Menu, connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, has to fill us up as well when we hear tekiyah shofar. But tekiyah shofar also is a reminder of the Akedah. And just like the entire Rosh Hashanah, we read Kriyas HaTorah of the Akedah, the Tekiyah Shofar, which is the Akedah, the Ram of the Akedah, is much deeper. It's the Akedah of Sari Menu, where we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, enough is enough. Ad Kan, how much Yisurim, how many challenges can we have? We've been through enough Akedahs in this world. Bring the Geula. Have mercy on your children. And that's not just the reminder of the Akedah. It's a tekiyah shofar of La'asi Lavo. It's a tekiyah shofar with that yearning that Hashem will have complete mercy on us and bring the Geula Shlema.